This is VK6 Amateur Radio News with News West for Sunday the 11th of October 2020. In this episode of News West, we take a good look at contesting, including an analysis of how we went in the Remembrance Day contest in August. There's information about next week's Jamboree on the air, and news of a new open source digital radio project, and there's more. The news team this week is Mike, VK6KMS, Jeff, VK6FJLM, Roy, VK6X-Ray Victor, and I'm Bob, VK6 Papa Oscar Papa, the producer. Let's get on with it.
Here's a nice contest that you can play with next Sunday. If you're into QRP, then the QRP Hours contest runs from time to time to give amateurs an opportunity to test their low-power stations. It's a short contest, and as its name suggests, it runs for an hour. Well, it goes for 2 hours, really, because it's two contests back-to-back, with the CW and PSK contest in the first hour and the SSB in the second hour, and you can do both. The next QRP contest hours contest on 40 metres is next Sunday, 18th of October. The CW PSK contest runs from 0400 to 0459 UTC and the SSB from 0500 to 0559 UTC. This is once again a single band event on 40 metres. We also revert to the format for the 80 metre contest, with the first hour for CW Digital and the second hour on SSB. The recommended frequency bands are on CW 7.020 to 7.050, on Digital 7.040 to 7.060, and on SSB from 7.060 to 7.170. Consult the WIA band plans to see what frequencies are best for the proposed mode. Exchange two-digit serial numbers with each station worked once for each mode. Start serial numbers at 01 and try to get to 99. Each contact is worth 1 point. Contacts with ZL stations are highly encouraged. The following information is essential for each line in your log: the time in UTC hours, the band, the mode, and the call sign worked, the number sent, and the number received. The contacts should be listed in the order in which they happened. Signal reports. You do not need to include signal reports either on air or in your log, but you are welcome to include signal reports in your contacts. For example, you may give someone a 57901 or just 01, but your contest log will show only the 01. For logging software, there's VKCL Logger, which now has an option for this contest. It outputs in the Cabrillo V3 format and is compatible with the VK Log Checker. Start a new log if you used it in April, or you may choose to use N1MM, November 1 Mike Logger, which has a user-definable contest option. The settings for this contest can be downloaded from VK4SierraNovember.com. Logs produced via VKCL or N1 Mike in Cabrillo 3 can be uploaded directly to www.vklogchecker.com, where an automated receipt for the log will be emailed to you. If that doesn't work, email your logs to contests at vkqrpclub.org. Again, contests at vkqrpclub.org. If you cannot use one of the loggers just mentioned, please send your log by email as a text file or Excel spreadsheet. Please note, no PDFs will be accepted. The log deadline is 8 days after the contest. This is a good, quick contest you can knock over in a long lunchtime. Next Sunday, consider it. Details are at vkqrpclub.org. Again, vkqrpclub.org. If you can't remember the web address, ask your favourite search engine to find the QRP Hours contest.
Back in August, we had the annual Remembrance Day contest, and this year's contest was different to other years in that only single operator stations were allowed, with COVID precautions putting a stop to multi-operator stations. There were a few grumbles, and there always will be with a crowd as diverse as we have in amateur radio, but overall, the change was embraced, and we got on with contesting. I promised back in August that I'd give some sort of analysis of the Remembrance Day contest and what it means in terms of crunching some numbers. Firstly, well done Western Australia not only for coming second in the interstate contest, but for increasing the number of logs submitted from 38 in 2019 to 48 this year, a 38% increase in the number of logs submitted, and 18.5% of the total logs submitted. Last year, our 38 logs accounted for 3,533 logged contacts, and this year, we logged 4,989 contacts, a bit over a 35% increase. Our performance in logs submitted was notable. The state submitting the most logs was Victoria with 60, followed by Tasmania with 57, and us with 48. As with other aspects of amateur radio in Australia, Western Australia punches above its weight. Although we came second to Tasmania in the states contest, there's a huge difference in turnout. Western Australia had 4.7% of its licences represented in the contest, whereas Tasmania had a massive 20.73%. South Australia had 3.61% represented, and all the rest of the states, including the other two big states, were under 2%. Another statistic that curls my toes a bit relates to the number of contest participants who fail to submit a log. It's colossal. Here in Western Australia, for instance, the contest logs showed there were 92 unique participants identified in the logs, and yet 48 logs were submitted, close enough to half. Nationally, there were 886 participants identified in the logs, and there were only 259 logs submitted. I don't know why such a huge percentage of participants don't put in a log. Do you? I'd be very interested in understanding why people don't send in their logs. I know you can forget or don't get around to it, but if you're one of those who don't send in a log for some reason, how about sending me an email and help me understand why? Send it to newswest@vk6.net. You won't be identified publicly, and I'm serious, it's a significant enough number to give some thought to. You know, if all those other people who didn't send logs in from Western Australia did send their log in, we'd have a seriously different score. So which bands did all the work? Well, 40 metres accounted for almost 10,500, followed by 80 metres with 9,000 and a significant usage of all the bands, up to 1.2 gigahertz. Now here's a clue to Tasmania's success. The vast majority of contacts made by VK7 stations were other VK7 stations, scoring most of those on 2 metres, 70 centimetres, 40 metres and 80 metres. In Western Australia, the bulk of our QSOs were internal to VK6, followed by contacts with VK5 and VK3, and the bands carrying most of our traffic were 80 metres and 2 metres. And I'm sure none of that 2 metre traffic was with VK5 or 3. Anyway, there's a trove of other statistics in the report, but let's not get too carried away. The report is in the contesting section of the WIA website, and you will have fun reading it, I can guarantee that, if you like numbers. And I'll conclude by saying, well done, West Aussies, for stepping up and giving this Aussie contest a go. I'm Bob, VK6POP.
This is News West, your amateur radio news on VK6ARN, originating on the News West linked repeater network and HF relays.
The JARTS WW RITI Contest 2020 is conducted and sponsored by the Japan Amateur Radio Teletype Society. This contest is supported by the Japanese CQ Ham Radio magazine and runs from midnight UTC, Saturday, October 17, through to 23:59 UTC, Sunday, October 18. The bands allowed are 3.5, 7, 14, 21 and 28 megahertz. Existing band plans must be observed. The international beacon frequency 14.100 kilohertz must be kept free of contest traffic. Stations running on the international beacon frequency more than 10 minutes or making 10 or more QSOs on that frequency will be disqualified. The mode used is Bourdon only. The entry categories are single op, all band high power, single op, all band low power, not greater than 100 watts, multi-op, all band, no power limit. You may utilize spotting assistance. Remote operation is permitted if the physical location of transmitters, receivers and antennas are in the one station location. A remotely operated station must observe all station license, operator license and category limitations. There's more, and the complete rules can be found on the website jarts.jp.
What's an M17 when it's at home? When I first saw it, I thought it was MI7, and it was a branch of military intelligence. But it's M17, is that some kind of assault weapon? Well, apparently it's neither of those. M17, that's Mike 17, is a project that is described as an adventure in amateur radio, with an aim to provide an option to those in the amateur radio community to move away from commercially available digital radio modes, which have become encumbered by proprietary hardware, software and protocols. The desire of the M17 project is to provide an open source community freely available and modifiable digital radio protocol and open hardware designs. The project began in early 2019. The project website says that the goal should be to kick the proprietary protocols off the airwaves, replace DMR, Fusion, D-Star, etc. To do that, it's not just good enough to be open, it has to be legitimately competitive. M17 is being built around Codec 2, the open source digital protocol developed by David VK5DGR. And if you remember, we had David over here for the first Perth Tech a few years back, and he was going to come this year for Perth Tech, but we had to cancel. M17 uses frequency division multiple access, FDMA, instead of time division multiple access, TDMA. FDMA, in this case, allows for 2 6.25 kHz simultaneous links to be established on one 12.5 kHz channel. Now, for some people, this could be even more exciting because the M17 is looking for people to join them, programmers, makers, developers, clever people and curious. The best thing for me to do now is to refer you to the project website, and you can take it from there whether you want to learn more of the project, donate some money to support the project, or become part of the team. The website is m17project.org, so that's one big long word, that M17 project. M17project, one single word. .org.
So you hear it quite often, the bands are so dead. But are they really? Sometimes the bands can be pronounced as dead, or at least seriously on the way to being expired. We all learned early in our amateur radio education about what causes radio propagation, particularly in HF, to go around the world or not, as the case may be. I think all of us have gone into our shacks at least on one occasion, turned on the radio, tweaked the antenna tuner, called CQ, and nothing. Changed bands, retweaked the antenna tuner, called CQ, and again, nothing. Redo from the start, and again, nothing. The bands are dead. But are they? They might well be. I don't know about dead, because I guess if you've had a big enough antenna, amplifier, and Western Power substation out the front yard, you might be heard somewhere, so the band may not be dead, but just a little bit ill. There's another possibility. It may be, just may be, that there's nobody else listening. That is quite possible. Have you ever noticed that on weekends, when there's an international amateur radio contest on, that the bands have suddenly sprung into life? Could that be because suddenly a galaxy of amplifiers have lit up the ionosphere? Probably not. I know there are some lively amplifiers out there, but surely not to that extent. It's plain and simple, really. The bands haven't magically opened. There's just suddenly a heck of a lot of people on air. Every week, at the end of the news program, you're encouraged to get out there and make some noise on air, because that's how the bands magically open.
The CQWW is the largest amateur radio competition in the world. Over 35,000 participants take to the airwaves on the last weekend of October for SSB and November for CW, with the goal of making as many contacts with as many different DXCC entities and CQ zones as possible. This year, the CQWW SSB contest is on October 24-25, and the CW contest is on November 28-29. The contests start at midnight UTC Saturday and ends at 23:59 UTC Sunday. You can work on six bands only, 1.8, 3.5, 7, 14, 21 and 28 megahertz. Observance of established band plans is strongly encouraged. The exchange for contacts is for SSB, RS report plus CQ zone number of the station location, e.g. 5905. For CW, it's RST report plus CQ zone, e.g. 59905. In our case, the CQ zone is 29, so an SSB exchange number we would give is 5929. The VK Contest Logger software is set up for this contest, or you may use your favorite contest logging software. There are many categories you could enter for the CQWW contests, so I suggest you visit the website cqww.com and read through the rules. If you think you might like to have a go, get on air and try a slice of this contest. You don't have to do the whole 24 hours, but if you do join in, please be sure to send in your log, even if it's only a handful of entries. The website again is cqww.com.
You are listening to VK6 ARN.
We heard during the week of the accidental death of John, VK6HZ. I plan to do a tribute to John in next weekend's News West. Please send me what you knew of John and your experiences with him. Thanks to those who have already sent stuff, but more is good. Deepest sympathy to John's family. There's been a recent flurry of slow scan TV activity emanating from the International Space Station, with Western Australian stations receiving good quality pictures as the satellite passes over. I believe that there's a certificate that can be applied for after you've posted your received images to a website. I've also heard that there are more slow scan TV series planned from the International Space Station. Along with increased activity from the International Space Station, there are regular slow scan TV broadcasts and activities every day on the HF bands. Have a look around. There's a special event station coming up soon, and the organisers are looking for Western Australian operators, especially those who are Rotarians, to assist with the activation. The special event call sign is VK65PFA, which stands for Polio Free Africa. Many of us are old enough to remember the polio pandemic of our childhood. Australian Rotarians of Amateur Radio, and that stands for RAW, I love that acronym, are activating the special event call sign VK65PFA to celebrate the eradication of the wild polio virus in the 65 countries, states and territories in Africa, as announced by the World Health Organization in August this year. The activation commences on October the 24th, marking World Polio Day, and will be active until November the 24th. The campaign to eradicate polio by Rotary International was initiated by Sir Clem Renouf, a rather famous Aussie. He was born in Ingham in Queensland in 1921. He joined the Rotary Club of Namba in 1950 and remained a member until his death in June this year, at the age of 99. Rotary has been working to eradicate polio for more than 35 years, and its goal of ridding the world of this disease is closer than ever. As a founding partner of the Global Polio Eradication Initiative, polio cases have been reduced by 99.9% since Rotary's first project to vaccinate children in the Philippines in 1979. Rotarians have contributed more than $2.1 billion and countless volunteer hours to protect nearly 3 billion children in 122 countries from this paralysing disease. Rotary's advocacy efforts have played a role in decisions by governments to contribute more than $10 billion to the effort. Today, polio remains endemic only in Afghanistan and Pakistan, but it's crucial to continue working to keep other countries polio-free. If all eradication efforts stop today, within 10 years, polio could again paralyse as many as 200,000 children each year. Now, the coordinator for the VK65 PFA is past IF RAW President Bill VK4 Zulu Delta, and many of you will remember Bill and Di from their time in the WA goldfields. You can contact Bill by email, and his email address is VK4ZuluDelta, that's VK4ZD, at mainlink.net.au. Give it again, VK4ZuluDelta at mainlink.net.au. This information is also up on the WA Hams email list, in case you didn't get to write the address down.
Next week, News West will focus on the history of amateur radio, preferably in Western Australia. However, other significant events could be covered. Will, VK6UU, has recently been working his way through a stack of old records from the Wireless Institute of Australia, VK6 Division, and the early days of the WA Repeater Group, and has also scanned the amateur radio magazine from go to woe. Fantastic. While News West could tap into some of this material, the stories would have far more value if written up by someone who was there at the time. Not only written, but recorded by someone who was there, or even someone who isn't on the News West team, would be fantastic. The history of amateur radio in WA belongs to all of us, and belongs least of all to the News West and WA amateur radio news. Our job is to report the news, not to own it. So folks, clubs, amateurs, where were you when, mutter, mutter, mumble, mumble, something happened? How about at least writing the story? There's lots to be told, and there's no better person to tell the tale than those who were there. The News West team is happy to assist anyone who wants to make a recording, but isn't sure how. The deadline for contributions is noon Friday. The amateur radio history segment comes around every 4 weeks. A couple of items for next week would be fantastic. How about it? You can contact the News West team by email newswest@vk6.net.
So you're new to amateur radio and wondered what all this fuss about contesting is all about? Or have you listened to a contest and thought maybe, no, that's not for me? After listening to the RD contest in 2019, I thought I'd give it a crack, just out of curiosity to see how I could go on 10 watts. And boy, am I glad that I did. The key to a successful contest is making sure you've done the preparation work before it starts. In my example, this year in the RD contest, I spent a good few days ensuring that the antennas were right, finely tuned, the radios were all set up and tuned to the frequencies I was going to be using on the contests, and most importantly, making sure that all the connections were secure and tight. I ensured that a half an hour before the contest, the tower was raised for the VHF and UHF antennas, ready to go. You don't want to be having running repairs during the contest, which will take away valuable transmitting time. So again, the key is the preparation work beforehand, and you'll then thoroughly enjoy the contest. If you only have one radio in the shack, but have a shortwave receiver, I'd recommend having the shortwave receiver on the second band of the contest, so you can see what activity is happening. In that way, if you need to swap bands quickly, you'll know what frequency to go straight to, rather than wasting time flicking through the frequencies. As I said, the key is the preparation. Make sure not only that your antennas and radios are finely tuned, but you're also set up comfortably in the shack, and get ready for some fun CQing on your first or 100th contest. Good luck, N73s.
Winlink Global Radio Email is a network of amateur radio and authorised government licensed stations that provides worldwide radio email using radio pathways where the internet is not present. The system is built, operated and administered entirely by licensed ham volunteers. It supports email with attachments, position reporting, weather and information bulletins, and is well known for its role in interoperable emergency and disaster relief communications. It's capable of operating completely without the internet, automatically using smart network radio relays. licensed Winlink operator stations use both amateur radio and government radio frequencies worldwide. Support for the system is provided by the Amateur Radio Safety Foundation, Incorporated, and that's in the US. It's a non-profit public benefit entity. Winlink Global Radio Email is a US registered trademark of the Amateur Radio Safety Foundation. Why am I telling you this? Well, I'm telling you this because Martin, VK6EEE, that's VK6EEE, is now running a Winlink HF gateway on HF and a 2-meter packet gateway. The frequencies for the Winlink HF gateway are 3596 kHz, that's 3.596 MHz, 7060 kHz, that's 7.060 MHz, and the packet gateway is 145.350 MHz, 145.350 MHz. This information has been sent to the WA Ham's email list, and Martin says, please feel free to try them. His QDH is located at Oscar Fox 77 Victor Mike. And if you want more information about Winlink, visit winlink.org.
Since 1931, News West has provided amateur radio news for Western Australia and beyond. This is VK6ARN.
Next week is Jamboree on the air. And here's what amateur radio people have told me about what they're doing to help with JOTA. Michael VK6TU down south there will be operating from home for JOTA this year. Mike has all frequencies available up to 23 centimetres and he'll have access to the All-Star network in Busselton and will have EchoLink set up, hopefully via a UHF radio, if he can get an interface made up in time. Mike will have the Cape Naturalist Joeys camping over on Saturday night and should have a few Cubs and Scouts visit on Saturday afternoon and he hopes to make a few good contacts over the weekend. Now back into Perth, Dennis, VK6AKR, says that the WAVHF group has been asked to support two groups of scouts at Wireless Hill and at the Leighton Gun Battery. They plan to set up for DMR and 2 metres and 70 centimetres at both sites, typically running through VK6RLM, VK6RFM and some simplex if their antenna farms are up to it. Having had success a few years ago using DMR, they're keen to use this if possible, and to that extent club member Robert VK6FRDM has programmed his and Dennis's radios with a welter of scouting talk groups. At Wireless Hill, Steve VK6BBM will try out a non-resonant long wire with an antenna tuning unit which should point in the general direction of VK2 and 3, so they'll have some HF in play too. So far, no definite number of scouts have indicated that they'll attend, but Leighton is often quite busy during the Saturday daylight hours. Wireless Hill comes alive in the early and late evening as the canning ascent participants get bussed up there. Now, Mitch VK6 MHz has set up the VK6RAF, that's Romeo Alpha Foxtrot repeater, at Ardross for the JOTA weekend. So to program your own radio, you need to set it up to transmit on 438.425 and to receive on 431.425. Did you get that? 438.425 TX, 431.425 RX, and that's how you set your radio up. The static talk groups are 505 and 5056 on slot 2, and this repeater is expected to be able to cover most of Perth south out to Rottnest. And that's all I've received, and if there's anyone else assisting with JOTA, jump onto the WA Ham's email list or the VK6 Facebook page and make your presence known. I'm very disappointed that there's been nothing from Scouts WA. I wrote to the fellow concerned, the guy who coordinates JOTA and JOTI in Western Australia for Scouts WA, and I didn't receive the courtesy of reply, let alone any useful information. As a previous incumbent of the position, I find it difficult to be critical. However, there has been no attempt to utilise amateur radio media of any sort to promote the activity in Western Australia. Let's hope it improves next year.
Good morning, boys and girls, amateur radio operators and shortwave listeners. This is Roy VK6 X-Ray Victor with this week's schoolyard report from the helpline. I have a request here from Kai, VK6 Kilo Sierra Juliet, looking for help with building a loop antenna, or anyone who has a loop antenna for multiple frequencies in his small upstairs unit. He's looking for a loop antenna. He said he was talking to someone at the Hamfest with a business connection in Malaga, or Malaga, depending on your upbringing, who builds loop antennas for fun, and would like to contact him again. If you can help Kai with any ideas on how to build a loop antenna, I know Gus had a loop antenna one stage for 40 metres. Maybe you can help Gus. Give Kai a call on his email, which is victorkilo6kilosierrajuliet@westnet.com.au. Again, that's victorkilo6kilosierrajuliet@westnet.com.au. I'm sure Kai would be very grateful for any help he can get with building a loop antenna. Thank you, says Kai. And me. Mel, VK6 Lima Charlie, had an antenna farm that you may have heard about or seen on the helpline email out, and he still has some items there. He sold item 5, but he has a lot of other items there, which would be interesting to you if you're into antenna building. And he says he has a lot of 40-meter dipoles there. He has 40-meter elements complete with nylon base, radio plate, and radios are still available at $90 each. You can view all of Mal's items on his antenna farm. All items are viewable on qrz.com, Victor Kilo 6 Lima Charlie /Papa, at https://www.qrz.com/Delta Bravo/VK6 Lima Charlie/Papa. I won't say that all again, but if you want to know further, give me a call or email me at vk6xrayvictor@bigpond.com. Or you can phone Mal on 0474-106-881 between 10 a.m. and 8 p.m. only. 0474-106-881 between 10 a.m. and 8 p.m. Thank you. And that's all I have for this week. Thank you. A bit of a rush here. Got to get down to see my wife in jail. No, sorry. She's in hospital. Same thing. Different food. This is VK6 X-Ray Victor now off and clear 7-3.
Thanks for listening. As Mike has told you, next week is all about amateur radio history. And we anticipate it will again prove very interesting. Thanks to the news team, and thanks to the broadcasters and those who take the callbacks. Special thanks to WA Repeater Group for maintaining the linked repeater network, and to others who maintain repeaters that carry the news broadcasts. Stay safe, enjoy your hobby, and what better way to enjoy your hobby than to get on air and make some noise.